Hello, welcome to the Property Podcast. Of course, I'm Rob B, and still with the lovely Rob D. And this week, we've got a cracking episode for you. Now, the title, Inflation, you may think, oh, dull. But by the end of this episode, our mission is to make you so excited about inflation that you actually believe it's one of the most important parts of property investment. And actually, it is.
Yes, welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors come together to be informed and inspired. This is such an important episode. Whether you are new or experienced in property, this is a must listen. And as if that weren't enough in itself, we've got three news stories for you, and in Hub Extra, a resource that's going to help you have a better time across the entire internet.
So Rob, we've clearly got good energy this morning because we're not doing one news story, we're not doing two. No, we've got a triple whammy. Three news stories in 1 week. Why?
Well, we have to because the government has been on an absolute tear of announcing things. You will be stunned to learn that there's not a huge amount of detail around these announcements, but it doesn't matter because they get to announce stuff which they love to do, and it gives us something to talk about, so we're not complaining either. So there are two big things that were announced last week. The first of those was that they have committed to introducing mandatory 5-yearly electrical safety checks. If this sounds a bit familiar, that's because this has been talked about as a possibility for years, for as long as I can remember, in fact. Gas safety has always been mandatory. Electrical safety checks, a good idea, of course. Many landlords do them anyway, but it's never been mandatory. So it kind of makes sense to bring it in. They're now saying they definitely will. But there is still no time frame on it. So it's going to happen. We just don't know when. So given how long the tenant fees ban took, I wouldn't expect that to happen anytime soon, but it is going to happen. The other thing that was announced is that landlords will now be required to be part of a redress scheme. So letting agents need to be part of a scheme already. So if something goes wrong, there's someone to complain to, basically. Landlords individually have never had to be. So no specific body for tenants to go and complain to. But now they will have to be. When? Again, we don't know. It's been announced as something that's going to happen, but we don't have the detail and we don't know when. We also don't know, for example, if you have your property managed, will you still need to be a member of a redress scheme or will the fact that your agent is be enough? But Rob, both of these tie into our third news story, which has a stat in there that we were both really surprised by.
Yeah, of a survey of 8,000 landlords, it materialised that only 1 in 10 have their properties fully managed. So that means 9 in 10 need to make sure that they are on top of these things and doing them all by themselves. Now, even if you have your property managed, you need to make sure you've got a good letting agent who are on top of these things. But it really amazed me. If you'd asked me to have a stab at that number or guess how many landlords have their properties managed, you would expect a lot higher, especially with all these changes going on. You know, it's not just this week. It seems every month there's something new to be done or to adhere to. So I do see that changing. I do see over the coming years that increasing, not because people don't enjoy managing their own properties anymore, probably because they're just fed up of what the government's making them do and asking them to jump through so many hoops and paying somebody to just take care of it. We don't find it easy. We run a letting agent and we've got somebody who just takes care of that very subject, compliance. That's how difficult it is, that we need a team member who's dedicated to making sure that we and all our landlords are compliant. This is something we know that is really important to you as investors and landlords. So if you haven't got your property managed, we will look to create more content on all the things you do need to be doing in the future. So watch this space.
All right, today is our second installment in a little series that we're calling Fundamentals February. This is where we're dedicating the whole month to going back over some of the absolute core concepts of property investment. These are what it's all about. There's a lot of detail about what you buy and where you buy and how you manage your property and mortgages and tax and all these things. And that detail is important, but none of it means anything without these fundamental forces, which determine why property investment is worth thinking about in the first place. If you're newer to property, some of this stuff might just blow your mind. But even if you're experienced, it's still so worthwhile going back and reacquainting yourself with the basics and reminding yourself of what it's all about. Last week, we talked about leverage, and if you haven't listened to that episode, do go back and check it out because it's an important one. Equally important is today's episode, where we're talking about something that you never think about, no one ever really does, but is one of the most powerful forces out there, which you can use to either make you rich, or if you do nothing about it, will eventually make you poor. That is inflation.
Yes, inflation. It's kind of got the association of, oh, inflation, that's boring. We get some news about that every month of where it's at. But inflation is so powerful when it comes to property investment. We've talked about this in the past, and for the people who've listened to the previous podcasts on inflation, they often comment on how it was one of the most important episodes they've listened to. So let's get into it. So what is inflation? Put simply, inflation is an increase in the general price of level of goods and services over time. So let's use a real life example. In 1971, the average pint of milk cost around 5p. And now apparently it's 44p. Although where I live, I've not seen a pint of milk for less than 50p. Now that doesn't mean milk has got more expensive to produce. It's actually got cheaper. The difference is due to inflation. Inflation is measured in either CPI or RPI. So that's the Consumer Price Index or the Retail Price Index. Now, the government report that you hear every month is CPI. And this is calculated by measuring hundreds of different prices and seeing how they've changed. So since the year 2000, CPI has averaged 2.8% every year. So that means that something that cost £100 last year will cost £102.80 this year. Now, you'd be forgiven for thinking that doesn't sound like much, but this leads to massive differences over the long term. And this is why inflation is so important. But we don't think about it, because year to year, the differences are minimal. But over the long term, the difference is huge.
So why does inflation happen? We just accept it as a fact of life. You'll turn on the news and it'll say, oh, inflation was this last month. And you just take it as read that there is inflation. But why? Why is it a thing? Well, there are lots of different reasons why inflation can come about, and economists like to argue about this kind of thing, and different reasons apply in different circumstances, depending on what's going on and what the good is and all that sort of thing. So one reason why we get inflation is if there's more demand for goods than there is supply of those goods. And that's quite intuitively easy to understand. If there's only a certain amount of a particular product and that everybody wants that product, then the supplier can put their prices up because they know that some people will be willing to pay it. That's one cause of inflation, but there's another very important one as well, and this is to do with increase in the money supply. When more money is introduced into the economy, and that can be done through quantitative easing, which we talked about in the past, or in lots of other ways, prices will adjust upwards. This is actually the same as a supply and demand reason, because it's to do with the supply of money, but it's caused by the entity who has control over the supply of money, and that is the government. That's because inflation is government policy. The government wants inflation. They don't want too much. You'll often hear about the problems in countries with massively high hyperinflation. And there have been periods in the UK in the past where inflation has been very high, and that hasn't been very pleasant. But they want mild inflation. In fact, they target inflation of 2% per year. The government has given Bank of England the task of manipulating monetary policy to keep inflation at around 2% a year. They don't want it to be too much higher, but they also don't want it to be lower. They like mild inflation because it's better than deflation. Deflation is something that governments find very scary, because the theory goes that if you expect prices to be lower next year than they are this year, then you'll defer your purchases. And in fact, when it gets to next year, you think, well, it's probably going to be even cheaper next year. And you'll just wait and wait. And as a result, activity levels in the economy will drop and things will be very badly affected. So because they're very scared of deflation, they like to have mild inflation. So even if they undershoot that target, you still don't get deflation. Another reason why governments like inflation is that it devalues their debt. So even if the actual amount of their debt remains the same, it effectively is worth less. Now, if that doesn't make sense to you right now, don't worry, because this is an important point and we're going to be coming back to it later on.
So this may sound all very interesting, but why does it matter? Well, if prices and wages go up the same amount, you could say it doesn't matter, because if milk costs 9 times more, but you get paid 9 times more, who cares? But it makes a huge difference to your savings. So over the last 10 years, inflation has averaged 2.9%, more than the target. Now, if you had your money in savings and not earning any interest, that would have effectively made you 35% poorer. Let me say that again. If you had just kept your money and you weren't earning any interest, then over that 10-year period, your money is worth 35% less. your purchasing power is weakened by 35%. That is huge. So it looks like, you know, you've just been chilling out, standing still. Oh, inflation's only moving a couple of percent a year, but you've lost a third of your purchasing power. Crazy. Now, if the stock market crashed by 35%, you'd notice. But inflation can do that to your wealth without you or anyone else noticing. And that's why it's so powerful. So what does this mean? Well, if you're living on a fixed income, inflation is bad news. Your money is buying less and less every year. And if you're a saver, inflation is really bad news because most savings accounts pay less than inflation. So you, by putting your money in a savings account, are probably getting poorer every single year. Unless you're beating that 2.9% average, you are getting poorer. Now, if you're an investor, you need to factor in inflation because you need to make 2 to 3% in a typical year to stand still. So if you make 5% on investment, that's a real return after inflation of 2 to 3%. Now remember, your return isn't just the income that you receive, it's also the capital growth. So you've got to look at the two combined, and that's your total return. You need to make sure your total return is above 3%, otherwise it's not actually a good investment. So far, inflation sounds like it's something that should be feared and we should, you know, try our best to avoid. Well, here's the thing. For property investors, inflation can actually be your best friend and contribute to your wealth creation.
Yeah, as a property investor, there are several ways in which you can win from inflation. Inflation's happening anyway. There's not a lot you can do about it unless you want to go and work for the Bank of England and convince them to do things differently. Inflation is going to happen. But as a property investor, you can benefit in several different ways. The first way just happens if you're a property investor. You don't have to do anything special. And this is because rents tend to rise in line with inflation. That's because rents, believe it or not, are not fixed by a greedy cartel of landlords. They're based on what people are willing to pay. And what people are willing to pay in rent tends to be a fixed proportion of their income. So if their income goes up in line with inflation, then so do rents. What that means is if you are making £500 in rent today, you'll probably be making the equivalent of £500 in 20 years. What that means is if you took that £500 today and spent it, or in 20 years, let's say the rent is £2,000, but you spent it, you'd actually be able to buy the same amount of stuff for that money. In other words, inflation won't eat into your rental return. It's not like that £500 that you're charging in rent today will remain the same every year and the buying power of that £500 will shrink. You'd expect over time to be able to put up the rent in line with inflation. So your income stream from property is immune from inflation. And that's a really big deal. That doesn't mean that that will happen every year. There'll be times when rents might not be able to go up. There'll be times when you might decide not to put the rent up because you've got a really good tenant in there. But over the long term, you've got an inflation-proof income stream. So that's a built-in advantage of property when it comes to inflation. But there's more. By combining inflation with leverage, which we talked about last week, you can really, really win big as a result of inflation.
Yeah, listen up, because this is where it gets really exciting. Here's the good news. Your debt will be eroded by inflation. Yes. So, if you borrow 100k and you don't pay any capital off, so you get an interest-only mortgage, you'll still owe £100,000 in 20 years' time. But because of inflation, that £100,000 will be worth less by then. So, for example, £100,000 debt you took out 20 years ago would be worth, in real terms, only £57,000 today. And if you waited another 10 years, well, it'd be worth less again, and it would probably be the equivalent of credit card debt. So you've paid none of the capital down, but in real terms, your debt is being eroded year after year. And that's amazing. Your debt has been halved in that example without paying it off. So 100k down to 57k, and you haven't paid a penny off. Inflation has done the job for you. And this is why governments like inflation and are very motivated to make sure it exists, because they benefit in the same way. The amount of government debt that we have has been well documented. It is huge. It is at some of the highest levels we've seen since the Second World War. Crazy high. And you could say unachievable to pay down. And yes, people who say that are probably correct. But that's why the government wants inflation, because even if they just maintain the debt, what it'll be worth in 10 or 20 years' time will be much less because inflation has eroded that debt. So for those savers out there, including those who campaign against low interest rates and they want to get their savings producing more income for them, really don't understand how the economy works. The government is always going to want inflation, as we've touched on. So therefore, you can be punished by being a saver, or you can be rewarded by being an investor with debt. Now, that may not sound fair, and it's not for us to judge what is right or wrong, fair or not fair, but it is what it is. And once you understand the rules of the game, you can choose to either be punished by it or be rewarded by it. The choice is yours.
But wait, it actually gets even better if you're an investor using leverage. So not only is the value of your debt reducing without you doing anything, but the combination of leverage and inflation can actually magnify your returns. Let's have a look at how this works. To start with, even if you don't use leverage, just because of inflation, property prices tend to go up. And that makes sense because housing is a product, just like any other. So if the price of everything goes up, you'd expect property prices to go up as well. Now, they don't do so in the same way as rents. They behave very differently. So rents tend to go up roughly in a smooth line with wages. It's steady and there aren't any big swings. The actual capital value of property is completely different. Prices can go up really quickly, they can crash suddenly, and then they can do nothing for a while. So if you imagine a graph, you've got a really jagged line going up and down and all sorts of things happening. But if you zoom out far enough, you'll see that over the long term, house prices tend to rise faster than inflation. So it would make sense, as I've said, if they went up at least in line with inflation. But in fact, in the UK, because of issues like supply and demand, they tend to go up faster than inflation. But here is where the magic happens, is when you combine inflation and leverage. Because if you use leverage, you can win big, even if prices only go up in line with inflation. So let's apply some numbers to this. Let's say that you buy a house for £100,000 and it goes up in line with inflation. And let's say inflation is 3%. So you buy your house for £100,000, 3% inflation. So next year it's worth £103,000. So it feels like you've got a gain there because your house is worth more than it was. But in fact, in real terms, you're no better off. Inflation was 3% and your asset value has gone up by 3%. So if you sold that property, your purchasing power would be exactly the same. So you're no further ahead. But let's say that rather than buying it all with cash, you used a mortgage and you only put in £25,000 of your own money. Now, the same thing happens. The property is worth £100,000 still. It goes up in line with inflation, which is 3%. So it's now worth £103,000 the following year. That's £3,000 more. But now we can take that £3,000 gain and add it to the amount that you put in, which is £25,000, which means you've now got equity in that property of £28,000. When you work out the increase from £25,000 to £28,000, that's a 12% increase. So even though all that happened was that property went up in line with inflation by 3%, because you use leverage, you've made a return of 12%. Now, of course, you've still got to factor inflation into that return. So after taking that 3% inflation back off, you've made a real return of 9%. And the point to remember here is that this isn't assuming anything crazy. And yes, there will be years when property prices fall. There'll be years when they grow by less than inflation. But over the long term, it would be very strange to expect anything other than property prices to match general inflation. And as we've just seen, if you use leverage, something that seems pretty boring, which is just property prices going up like any other, can actually translate into a really big gain.
So over a year, this doesn't sound much. £3,000. There's a lot going on for just £3,000. And if you sold your property that year, well, the fees would probably be eat up most of that. So big deal. Well, it may not be a big deal over 1 year, but as we've already said, inflation becomes very powerful when it's compounded year after year, because over the long term, the impact is massive. So let's say you bought a property for 100k 10 years ago with a 75k mortgage. Pretty standard stuff. So you put 25k of your own money in. Now, the capital values of property often beat inflation. And historically, since the 70s, that's absolutely been the case. But even if property had gone in line with inflation, so it hadn't beaten inflation, just matched it, that would be 35%. So it would be worth 135,000 in today's money. your equity would have gone from 25k to 60k. 140% increase. That's huge. And your debt of 75k in real terms would be worth only £48,750. So your debt's gone down and your equity has gone up. And you've earned an income through that entire period. And this is playing it super safe and saying property just being in line with inflation has done all this. But the long-term average shows us that property values beat inflation. So if you throw those numbers in as well, it just becomes bonkers. So playing on the safest assumptions, the numbers look marvellous. And then playing out actually what's happened over the last 30, 40 years, the numbers are quite insane. So here's the thing. Whether you like this or loathe it, inflation is a fact of life. Year after year, it's going to happen to you. And year after year, you're probably not even going to notice because it's just those small incremental changes. But over decades, it's such a powerful force that it could either completely destroy your wealth or supercharge it. And that's why combining leverage and inflation makes property investment extremely powerful.
Now, of course, we have to mention that nothing is without risk. By using leverage, you're basically making a bet that property prices are going to go up. And if things go the other way, then leverage magnifies things in that direction as well. If there is deflation, leverage will magnify the effect that that has on your investments. So you'd be even worse off after a period of deflation. So you need to decide for yourself whether you think that inflation or deflation is more likely. We'll leave you to make that decision, but just as a hint, governments, as we've already covered, want inflation to happen. They kind of need it to happen, and they have the power to set policy to make it happen. So that might factor into your decision making a little bit. Now, there's been a lot of numbers in this podcast. There's been some really important foundational ideas, but there's also been lots of bits where we're reading out series of numbers. I know that's not the easiest to follow in audio form. So that's why we've got a course as part of Property Hub University that covers some of these same ideas. That course is called How Property Can Make You Rich in the Long Term. So if you go to propertyhub.net/university, you'll be able to take that course and really solidify these concepts. I strongly recommend you do. Because once you grasp this idea, it's going to help you tune out a lot of the noise and the nonsense that you hear, and a lot of the day-to-day worries, and get you really excited and focused on why property investment is so worth the downside, so worth working hard to build up the deposit. Because over the long term, there are these powerful forces at work, working in your favour if you set up the right way to really build your wealth.
So it's that time where we thank a wonderful hubber who's left the podcast a review on the iTunes store. And remember, we love it when people are taking action, letting us know how they've implemented the podcast or using anything else the Property Hub does, like the courses or the meetups, and putting that stuff into action. And this week's review absolutely delivers. So 5 stars from Stuart in Glasgow, who says, I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and I thought it high time to leave a review for this wonderful discovery. I'd mulled over the idea for property investment for quite some time, but never mustered up the confidence to pursue the dream until I came across the property podcast, that is. It made everything seem a lot less daunting, and through its informative yet light-hearted nature, it's helped me develop the knowledge and confidence to grab the bull by the horns, and I recently made my first investment. The guidance provided by Rob and Rob on the podcast, along with Rob's books on property investment, has proved invaluable. Whilst under no illusion that the road to success will be a smooth one, the journey ahead looks to be an exciting one. And I'd like to thank the boys for their passion and energy they share for property investment and inspiration they give to people like myself to take the leap. Top-notch job. Well, top-notch job by you, Stuart. That is fantastic. It's not just the fact that you've taken action here, but you've got the realistic belief and understanding that it's not all going to be rainbows and unicorns, and there are going to be challenges, but it's worth it. And that's what's fantastic, is you've not been deluded and thinking that property's some get-rich scheme that's going to be super easy. It's over the long term, property is a magical wealth creation tool if you do it right. But things will go wrong, and that's cool too, as long as you know how to deal with it. And hopefully on the podcast, we'll teach you just how.
Now, if you are a member of the Property Hub, lots of wonderful things open up to you. For a start, you can take those courses that we mentioned earlier in Property Hub University. They're all free and you'll learn absolutely loads. But another wonderful thing happens, which is every Friday morning, an email called Hub Extra will drop into your inbox, and it will be full of the most useful links that we've gathered throughout the week. And included in there every week will be a resource, a tip, a quote, something that we think will improve your life, even if just a little bit. And the resource that we're sharing this week, Rob, is something that you've been raving about for quite a while now. We'll make your internet browsing experience on your phone that little bit more pleasant.
Yeah, apologies in advance. This is for iPhone users, but I'm sure with a little bit of Googling, there is an equivalent for Android users. But for iPhone users, there's a tool that I'd highly recommend called OneBlocker. Now, it's one of those apps that you've got to pay for. And you know what it's like, you know, you're like, oh, I've got to pay a couple of pounds for an app. That's ridiculous. Well, you have paid best part of £1,000 for a phone. So maybe that £2 investment might be worth it in this case. And that's because it will make your internet browsing experience a joyful experience. Because let's face it, there are multiple websites you go on where it goes slow because it's loading all the ads. News websites are awful for this. They start loading videos without you even wanting to be loading. And you think, oh God, this is awful. I'm not going to pursue it. And you jump off the website or you don't read as much as you should. Now, here's the thing. With OneBlocker, it stops all that. It stops all the ads being loaded up. It stops the videos being started without you wanting them to. And the result of that is incredible. Because I used to go on newspaper websites and it'd take what felt like an age for it to load. Now it's instant. Bang, you're in straight away. Get into the content you actually wanted to get to. It's a great resource. I'd say it's one of those must apps for anybody who's got an iPhone. So go and check out OneBlocker. You'll also find a link in this week's show notes, but it's pretty easy to find through the App Store. Not that you'll need it on our lovely new website though, because obviously it's completely ad-free.
So that's us done for this week. Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Let us know what else you want us to cover. We're really enjoying Fundamentals February. We love getting stuck back into the basics, but we also want to know what you want us to cover on the show. So let us know on the socials. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Property Hub UK. And don't forget to go check out all those lovely courses at propertyhub.net/university. That should be enough to keep you busy until next Tuesday when we'll be back with Ask Rob and Rob. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.